Stacey June is a broadcaster, she's a podcaster, a personal coach, the owner of the Self Care Club. Oh, and you know what else? She's an author. Her book, Single Pringle, is one that I have been personally recommending to friends since it came out earlier this year, and she joins me on the show this morning. Hello.
Hi, Molly.
Oh, it is so nice to have you here. I am obsessed with your book, and since finishing it, I've just been constantly referring back to it. So thank you for gifting us with all of your knowledge.
Oh, that's so nice. It's such a little labour of love, and I really did trust that it would find the right people at the exact right time. I found it really funny around book launches, like, as many people buy it as possible in this one week. And I just, as much as the book launch process was enjoyable and fun and a great way to get the book out there, I really trust that this book finds the people at the exact time it's supposed to. So it's nice to be talking to you at this point after it found you at the right time.
I know that you spent a lot of years putting this together, and I know you've spoken about it on your various podcasts in the past, and exactly that is what happened. I went through a really hard breakup in my life this year, and I thought, you know what? I always knew this was going to happen. Like, this book is going to be out on the shelves exactly when I need it, and it's just been so helpful. Do you find a lot of people are reaching out to you about it?
Yeah, they really are, and in a way that was exactly what I intended for it to be, a practical guide. I think often when we go through breakups, or even if we're just unsure about our relationship, you know, we're kind of on the verge, we feel really out of control. And it's natural because you feel very vulnerable. For some of us, the breakups weren't on our terms. And even when it was, you still feel very like the world is kind of sweeping you up and you're not really in the driver's seat. So the book really allows you to put your hands firmly but softly on the driver's seat and start to take control of the parts you can in your life. And it goes through exercises and different homework and lots of different stories that I did to really support that underlying fear of, everything's kind of turned upside down. So I was mindful of not just sharing stories and then letting people go. It was definitely a passion of mine for people to have a way to practice the things I learned in their lives as soon as they were reading it. So that's certainly been a lot of the feedback I've got, which I'm thrilled about.
As a single person, you almost feel like there's this race to find a partner. People are asking you all the time, oh, have you found anyone? Have you been on any dates? But what I love about this book is the whole message is to stop wishing away your single life and learn to flourish alone. And I think that is so important. And that is what this book does. It gives you practical tools that you can slowly work at so that you don't feel like you're just focusing on, oh, I have to find a person. You actually get to find yourself.
I mean, it really will land in the hands of whoever's supposed to read it, but it is a book about my own self-discovery, not just necessarily about my single status. I really used my single life as a bit of a life school and gave myself the opportunity to do a lot of those things, which I believe is the perfect opportunity to do when you are single. But there are so many different lessons in there that are about discovering who you are as opposed to potentially who you were told to be, whether that's from society or your family. So it's a real great opportunity when you're single to deep dive into your life. But I would argue that it is a really great opportunity to do that at any point that you're feeling, maybe in your 20s, that there's just something not singing, that you might feel like you're missing a part of the secret of life that everybody else knows. The book goes into some exploration and how you can potentially find a little bit more honesty in who you are and the way you want to live.
And as you touched on there, your 20s can be a really confusing part of life.
They're sold to you like they're supposed to be so fun, and then everyone has to pretend they're having the best time. And underlyingly, you've got no idea who you are. It's so scary. I don't think that, why are we lying to 20-something?
I know exactly what you mean. And you put so much pressure on yourself. I think particularly as a chick, you find yourself going, oh my God, I'm this age. I need to find someone by this point in my life because I need to have kids before this point. Like, how on earth do we scrap these timelines? Because I think they're just getting in our way.
Well, it just really comes back to this prehistoric notion of, you know, age is, you know, youth is beauty, and the younger you are, the more life you have to live. And we know now, we know that that is such BS. Like, we can see that when people thrive, you know, as they develop and get to know themselves, is when you really see someone look beautiful, or you really see confidence, or you really start to see people as who they are. So it's just really understanding the stories we're told from society and how so many of them are outdated, and just creating your own narrative, creating your own story that you would like to essentially sign up for, right?
Yeah, so true.
You know, we sign up for this idea that this is the way life is, yet we often experience it so differently. So let's stop signing up for that old school notion that being young is the answer and being young is the best part of your life. It's just not the truth. So when we take pressure off that, we start to give ourselves some space to work it out. Let time and age and wisdom support those feelings. Give ourselves the opportunity to learn and to F up.
Exactly.
Because when we don't have that grace in being able to learn slowly, and we've got this pressure of having the best times of our lives, at a time I would argue is the least best time of my life, because just because I was partying didn't mean that equaled to every step of fun. You know, I have fun in such a different way now. And I think by just really understanding that we've told a very outdated notion of the way the order life works is already a step to taking off the pressure.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the better you know yourself as a person, and the more time you take to understand who you are and what you want, the more likely it is that you're going to attract the right person for you. You can't meet someone when you don't, you know, you haven't essentially met yourself. I think that's the whole thing. And you talk in this book a lot about finding your values, and you've got a great point. You need to figure out, who am I? And what am I looking for in another person? If someone listening right now is going, what does all of this mean? How could they start identifying their values?
The first step would be to go and do the values workshop on my website, because that will run you through 3 videos online, downloadable, it's affordable, and you can start to actually practice some tools straight up. Of course, there's a version of that in the book as well. But it is really about identifying things that you're called to, or that you enjoy. When you're figuring out the parts of life that you enjoy, you're coming from a place of feeling, not a place of thinking.
That's the absolute
beginning point, right? So if you want to figure out if something is truly making you happy or truly making you feel good, are you feeling good or are you thinking it's good? And then is that making you feel something? Which one are you coming from? Because a truth, a values, an intuition, a place that's coming from your real divine space is a feeling first. You think second. And that's, I guess, a really quick snapshot way of identifying that. But I'll also say values are helpful in every area of our life. I know for me, I struggled with not just relationship stuff in my 20s, but what I wanted to do. I didn't get into radio until I was almost 30. So I spent my entire 20s having absolutely no idea what I wanted to do career-wise. So the values and that kind of, I suppose, format for you to figure out the truth and things that you value is really an opportunity for you to look at well beyond just relationships.
What I've realised is that you can be compatible with so many people, and you can have a lot of similarities, like, oh, we have the same hobbies, or, oh my gosh, I can't believe it, he likes the same weird movie that I like that no one else has seen. But those things don't necessarily make someone the one. I think what it actually comes down to is two people being in the right place at the same time and having the same wants and the same needs at the right time. It's not necessarily about finding people that are, you know, on paper compatible. It's about finding the right person at the right time.
Yeah, I guess a little from column A, a little from column B in my take. It comes back to that exact point I made earlier around feeling, right? So timing is definitely, you're spot on with that being an absolute main factor. You know, relationships, and looking for a long-term relationship in particular, they're not going to be just about feelings either. You know, timing is a universal law, right? We don't always get the job on the day we want it. We don't always fall pregnant on the time we want. We don't always get to go for that holiday in the year we wanted. You know, life will have its own timing, and that's got nothing to do with relationships. That's got to do with every single part of life. So if we ignore that factor when it comes to romantic relationships and try and go on notions that are just purely about the romance and the person, then we're missing a very big part of how life works, which is timing. But essentially, you need to understand that you've got to be in the right time as much as the other person. We'll often really focus very much on the other person being out of whack in our timing, but it can very often be also a sign that if they're off in timing, that actually you may not have been ready either.
Yeah.
And I think so, it's really coming back to that idea of feelings as opposed to heads. And when we think about all of the things that make us compatible with someone, when we think about how we'd be matched, how it would work with our family, what it would look like, these are all very thought-driven ideas of a relationship. Whereas when you feel something, and I'm talking about true feelings, not the feeling of, oh my God, I love this person, I really want to make it work, even though I don't feel safe and I don't believe they want the same things as me, that's not the same as feeling something like, oh my God, I feel so supported, I feel so sure about myself when I'm with them, I really feel very good about myself. You know, there's a difference, right? Mm. But when we're driven by the true feeling of how we feel in the relationship, not how we feel about them, about how we feel in ourselves with them, I know it's a bit confusing, we are now talking about truth and how we can actually find honesty in relationships. So the timing is just an absolute given. But again, it really does circle back to that focus on looking at how you personally feel, not how you personally think. And secondary to that, how you feel rather than how you feel about them.
Gosh.
How do they make you feel?
You are just full of advice, Stacey June, and your book Single Pringle is as well. I've been telling people this isn't just a book. It is a tool set that you can, you know, reach over and grab. I have it next to my bed at the moment and I'm constantly doing that. And it's not just for single people. It is a book that you can use if you're wanting to work on yourself. And I think we can always work on ourselves. There's always room for improvement. And Single Pringle is the book that you need. But not only that, you also have a self-care club as well.
And this is a real, it's kind of like a gym for your insides, right? So we work on our abs or we work on this idea of our external bodies, and that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, we all want to feel good and we all want to look good. But there isn't really the same offering for our insides. Like, we do meditation courses, but they're not necessarily time specific or related to how we feel in that moment. Mm-hmm. And they're also not generally in a community. So I created Self-Care Club to be exactly that, a bit of a fun way to work out your insides and not take self-development so seriously.
Because it can be fun. And I've got this new thing going with my friends at the moment. We're calling it the self-care summer. We're not doing hot girl summer. We're doing self-care summer. And if this sounds like something you're interested in, go and get the book. It's out now. Or you can head over to stacyjune.com to get some more information about the Self-Care Club. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks, Molly. It's selfcareclub.com.au is where you can join us. And it's been so lovely to talk to you.
Oh, it has been my absolute pleasure. Thank you, thank you, thank you.